translation. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. This is a rich verse, isn't it? Isn't there a lot in here? There really is, actually. We could speak for a long time, but I've realized that we've got a limited amount of time. What time do we have to finish, Niskanchana Chaitanya Prabhu? All right, okay. I thought we might have a special program. I think yesterday, Godrumo, you went on a little longer, did you? I watched you. Where's Godrumo? Huh? I see, okay. So 8:35. Okay, that's fine. I'll leave some time for questions and answers. Well, let's decide now what it's going to be, because I don't want anyone to have this kind of Chinese water torture where you really want to leave, but you're kind of thinking, well, maybe I should stay. I should have more taste for hearing, and all these things go through our mind. As you said, Godrumo, the wheels start turning. What time should we make it? What time does everyone need? 8:40? Will that be okay? If you want to leave earlier, just get up and go. No problem, okay? You have full permission. You can leave at any time. Okay, 8:40. 5 days. We're having these 5 days leading up to and including Lord Chaitanya's appearance day on Friday. The speakers will be discussing the virtue of gratitude. Yeah. I've been reading some books by non-devotee philosophers, and one of them was saying, actually, this virtue doesn't take a lot. You've just got to say something like, thank you. And yet sometimes gratitude is hard to develop. That was his opinion. Yeah. I mean, if you ask me now, Rasamandala, what's wrong in your life? I would immediately come up with a whole long list. And if you asked me what am I grateful for, I'd probably pause for a second or two and have a shorter list. That's at least my experience, but of course you're not like me. You would probably find it a lot easier. But they've written that. Gratitude, very, very important. Yesterday, and we're looking at the gifts of Lord Chaitanya. What are we grateful for? Godrumo spoke about Sadhu Sangha yesterday. Tomorrow, Srimati Vishakha will look at the importance of philosophy or our appreciation for Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Do we have a love for that philosophy and appreciation of it and what it's given us? On Thursday, Jai Krishna Prabhu will speak about the holy names, the gift of the holy names. And on Friday, on Gopinim itself, His Holiness Satchinanda Swami will share his realizations and conclude these 5 lectures. Good. Something to look forward to, yeah? Yeah? Something positive, yeah? Do we like hearing? Yeah. Of course, my responsibility is not to tell you to like hearing. My responsibility is to make it interesting enough that you want to hear. And I want to come to that because we're speaking about outreach. So that's a theme we can look at, actually. When we're talking about outreach and also a little bit of Lord Chaitanya's gift of Krishna Prema, Namo Maha, this is a verse by Rupa Goswami, Namo Maha Badanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayati, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Amne Gora Tushe Namaha. O most munificent incarnation. By the way, gratitude and generosity are very closely connected. Huh? If we feel gratitude, we feel full that we've received something, we can then give. if we don't feel gratitude, if we don't have some, what I would call perhaps prosperity of the heart, it's hard to give. So here, O most generous incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prem. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. That's from the Chaitanya Madhyam Leela, chapter 19, verse 53. It's Rupa Goswami speaking there. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatest gift. I don't want to have a competition with the other speakers, but I'm going to try. They're all connected. I'd like to try and make this relevant to us today, because we have a very lofty goal, don't we, Krishna Prem? It really is very lofty. And how is this relevant today at Bhaktivedanta Manor or in the UK in 2021? Along the way, I'll pose a few questions. I'll make a few suggestions also. I think I've got about four suggestions. I'll leave plenty of time to respond so we can discuss. I'll stop at least by 20:30, if not 20:25. I'm going to actually read the purport and probably stop at intervals rather than reading the whole purport, and that's how I'm going to structure the class. So please bear with me. I will get to the end. But please listen as I read the purport, and let's see what we might notice in terms of relevance to our outreach. Is that okay? Can I ask you that? Yeah? Thank you. Let me see where I am now. I've got a few notes. Okay, the purport. It is the qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best, even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife, even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson, even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. Does this mean the saint should neglect these? Or should he follow them? Or should he find it easy because he's far above? That's an interesting question. These are ethical considerations. Chanakya Pandit, this comes from Chanakya Pandit. The first point I'd like to make is that ability to see the good in others. Gaudruma, you mentioned the born again Hare Krishna yesterday. We don't have time to explore that. I remember when we were on doing book distribution, because we're talking about outreach, we'd often be assailed by our police force, for whom we had respect. Sometimes we get arrested on book distribution. I think things are probably better now, but occasionally perhaps it still goes on. We'd have the habit of, when we saw them, of shouting, Asura! Which had the advantage of no one really knew what it meant. But actually, despite us using that term, when we spent some time in prison, as we did, for a few nights, we found actually many of them were very honorable gentlemen and were very interested in it, particularly the young ones, the less cynical. They were very interested in trying to help society and were interested in our philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But we actually, when we got accosted by them on the street, we developed a strategy for meeting a few born-again Christians. We'd actually start preaching as if we were Christians, and say, have you been born again? Have you been saved? And we found they'd very quickly leave us alone. That's probably not the way to preach. But that idea of being perhaps fundamentalist or thinking one has to come immediately to the highest level of Krishna consciousness is something we could discuss. So my suggestion is let's try and see the good in others, both in terms of views and values. After all, Gaudrama, you mentioned the problem of sadhu sangha, or the problem of asat sangha. How do you know we've got to avoid, according to Lord Chaitanya, the association of non-devotees? But actually, if we're a Majjhimadhikari, there is some saving grace there that we differentiate between the innocent, who may be receptive to Krishna consciousness, and the malicious, the envious. Mm-hmm. So we can actually associate with the with those who are innocent, of course, with the idea of uplifting them and still being careful that we're not dragged down. But to see goodness and truth in others is very important. And there's a quote from the Lilamrita by Sasarup Goswami, page 22 of the Lilamrita. Srila Prabhupada set a precedent by describing the vice chancellor of his college, Professor Urquhart, as a perfect and kind-hearted gentleman. So Srila Prabhupada would praise his teachers. So the Vaishnav sees the good. Mm-hmm. So we need to, in preaching, we need to see the good in others. Interestingly, with regard to love, I've got a few quotes here, if I can find them. And to just show how actually the non-devotees are struggling with the human condition just as we are struggling. Yeah? Don't they? They also struggle. Our struggle isn't so different. We're also struggling in Krishna consciousness. If we're not struggling, it's a problem, usually. If you're not struggling, you're either a pure devotee or you've given up. And usually the latter. So for most of us, it's a struggle. When I was here in 1974, I actually said to Hare Keshwami, as he was then, I said, Maharaj, I sought audience with him. I said, Maharaj, I'm struggling. My mind is always all over the place. And his reply was, what do you expect? This is a battle. How do you think Arjuna was feeling on the battlefield? How was he when Karna knocked off his crown? You know, Krishna pulled the reins and the arrow intended for Arjuna's head hit his crown because the chariot dipped due to Krishna pulling the reins. How do you think? So again, for me, that was a lesson. The mind is going to be active. And this is where I think this verse gives us so much room for engagement of the mind. It is so rich in thinking about how do we bring about a revolution in the lives of this misguided civilization. And not just saying, well, it's easy, we've got all the answers, we just chant Hare Krishna and we give out prasadam and we sell books and Harinam, right? No, there's something more to it than that, isn't there? We have to engage the intelligence in how we spread Krishna consciousness. So seeing the good in others. I remember being on Sankirtan, and I don't usually like T-shirts with writing on them. They're very popular these days. It costs a lot of money, just a T-shirt with a little writing on it. But I saw one that really impressed me. It was a red T-shirt, black letters, and it was great. It said, birth, school, work, death. And I thought, yeah, Janu Mritya Jiravyadi. I mean, not bad. He's got two of them right. So let us see the good in others. That is important. Here is some quotes. This is from a famous novelist called Iris Murdoch. Some of you may have heard of her. She was a novelist and also a moral philosopher. Very interesting person. She passed away in tragically of Alzheimer's disease in Oxford when I was there, interestingly, in 1999. Here Srila Prabhupada mentions ethics, so ethics, moral philosophy. moral philosophy, ethics is another word for moral philosophy. We need a moral philosophy in which the concept of love, so rarely mentioned now by moral philosophers, can once again be made central. So the virtue of love, seeing love as a virtue, a human virtue. There was another gentleman called MacTaggart. He was at Cambridge. And I found this astounding when I read it. According to MacTaggart, love is supremely good. Love is supreme in the following way. There is some amount of love that particular amount, even a little amount, of love is greater in intrinsic value than any amount of any other good or virtue. The optimistic conclusion of The Nature of Existence, which was a book he wrote, is that timeless reality consists of persons who experience tremendous love for each other. The quantity of love is sufficient in value to dwarf any evils that remain. MacTaggart argues that the value of this quantity of love might well be infinite. Did anyone think of any verses there? I did. Here's one. I won't read the Sanskrit because we're short of time, but the first verse of the Shikshastakam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sanctitam, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sanghitan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. I think the words are Anandam Buddhivardhanam, yes. Ananda, bliss. Ambuddhi, the ocean. Vardhanam. So it's like an ocean. Generally the ocean, and the moon is there. Lord Chaitanya is the moon. And when the moon is full, then the ocean rises. But generally speaking, there's a limit to the ocean. But this ocean is limitless. It overflows. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting quote. Again, you know, people are engaged in the same struggle as we are in many ways. Can we give them answers to their struggles? That is the real question. And how do we do that? I'll move on, actually. Just let me read a little more of the purport. So first point, let's try and see the good in others. Let's see when people get it right, yeah? Another story I have, I was in Sow Street some years ago. Actually, that was in the 1980s. And I was the treasurer there for the restaurant, Govinda's restaurant, which was then called Healthy, Wealthy and Wise, which was a great name, by the way. People loved it. Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. Which we should all be, by the way. And we should also be early to bed and early to rise, of course. One devotee came, knocked on my door and said, Rasamala, we've got a problem downstairs in the dining room. There's a big argument going on. So I went down, and a devotee told me that a couple of visitors are claiming their God. So I came down, paid my obeisances. I did actually had a bit of a sense of humor, as you may notice. And we had a bit of a discussion. And actually, I said to them, my guess is that you think, after a little bit of discussion, you think we're godly, that we're divine. And they said, yes, that's right. And then I went on to say, yes, we also agree that we're godly. We are part of God. But we also qualify that by saying there's a difference. And they agreed. So for me, that was personally, because we learn from experience as well as from Shastra, we have to relate Shastra to our experience. For me, that was a big lesson. I understood that we need to see what, we can't assume that everyone has got it completely wrong. They may sometimes get some glimpse or more than a glimpse of the absolute truth. And we need to acknowledge that. So that's my first point. See the good. Let me move on. But a saint is far above the ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend, China, has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We also have a crisis before us, don't we? Yeah. Why is this going on? I think some devotees have gone to the Ukraine, I read somewhere. Fantastic. Brilliant. I admire them. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing. Pure-hearted and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. When I talk about political diplomacy, you tell someone that, you know, I'm not going to invade Ukraine, and then 2 days later you invade it. Diplomacy perhaps isn't quite the word. Duplicity might be a better word there. Yeah, I mean, diplomacy, you can have good diplomacy and bad diplomacy, of course, but definitely duplicity. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is not due to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Interesting, isn't it? We fight over nothing. Even as devotees, sometimes we find we get into arguments over some trifle, yeah? Something very, very, very small. Or these days we see that people actually murder because someone has overtaken them and they don't like it. Yeah, they're some kind of boy racer or whatever we call them, yeah? And they become so offended by someone else's driving, they actually kill them sometimes. There's been cases in this country. I'm going to raise a point here, because the age of Kali has a couple of names. We call it the age of iron. What else is it called? What other two features do we have for the age of Kali? The age of quarrel and? Yeah, quarrel and hypocrisy. So these two things, if we're going to spread Krishna consciousness, we have to avoid. Srila Prabhupada has said that the biggest danger of the ISKCON movement is internal conflict, quarrel. And I'd like to, that I'll leave with you and we can meditate on ourselves. But the one I'd like to actually really look at is hypocrisy. It is extremely important. And Lord Chaitanya has given us some very important lessons on this. Sometimes we think that Krishna consciousness is a kind of a striving for liberation or an attempt to leave the world. And of course, the idea of Krishna Prem, it's very interesting, actually. I haven't got a lot of time, but Lord Chaitanya actually added Krishna Prem to the four Purusharthas, or the four goods, they would be called in moral philosophy, those things which are good for human being, or the four purposes of human life, which are dharma, artha, karma, moksha. This, I think, I'm doing some research on this, is very significant, because previously moksha included both the path of, pertinent to those, it was relevant to those who were renouncing the world, the Mayavadis, for example, or the Advaitins, or whatever. And it was also relevant to the Bhaktas, those who are on the path of devotional service. But Lord Chaitanya actually made it a lot clearer that the path of bhakti is distinct from the path of seeking moksha. And therefore he said, I only want to serve you birth after birth. That's my only desire. So this is, I think this is extremely significant and really is very much relevant to our outreach. In a sense, our purpose as members of the Krishna consciousness movement isn't, to use a little colloquial language, to get the hell out of here. That is intelligent, but it is not the highest goal. The highest goal is to serve the Lord through the instructions of the spiritual master. And what is that instruction? If we read the seven purposes of ISKCON, we will get a very good idea. And I recommend, actually, I don't think I know all seven purposes. I'm a hypocrite. I should do. I should know those seven purposes. But I recommend in your own time, read those seven purposes. Very, very important. Our job is to actually develop this society so that future generations can also become liberated. And then our liberation is guaranteed. We don't need to worry about that. But that is our real purpose. So we need to think, how are we going to set up this Krishna consciousness movement for the next 50 years, the next 100 years, 500 years? How is it going to work? By the way, I mean, this is a question because even though Krishna consciousness is doing very well in many, many ways, my own experience of joining in 1973 here at the Manor was for the first 9 years, we were expanding tremendously. We were part of a successful organization. There was just no doubt about it. One or two temples may have closed, but another three would open. But now it's becoming a little more difficult. We've slowed down a little bit. So this question is much more pertinent to us. Hypocrisy. Let me read a few verses on this. And I don't think we'll have a lot of time for more. We'll take some questions in about 7 minutes. This has been in the news, hasn't it? Those of you who read the news, I don't recommend that you all do, but those of you who are familiar with it, you'll notice that the whole idea of integrity has been there. For example, there's a phrase which to me has a completely different meaning than it used to. And that phrase is the Tory party. I can see a lot of you don't read the news. There was a whole problem that during the lockdown, when we were not allowed to meet each other, then in Downing Street, some of the government and ministers and officials were getting together and partying. So they were telling us, you must not do this, but they were not following their own rules. So the issue here, even though the discussion went all over the place in the press, but the real issue is are you following your own teachings? Now, this is going to be difficult for us because we're always going to fall short of our standards. There's always going to be some degree of discomfort with our Krishna consciousness. But the problem is when it becomes hypocrisy, when we're not able to meet some even basic moral standards. And that means our morality must extend outside of the temple room if we're a Kanishtha. If we're not a Kanishtha, if we're a Madhyamadikari. Yeah? It has to. We have to implement Krishna consciousness in all aspects of our life. What do you think, Niskanchana? Yeah? Would you agree? how do we do that? Let me read this. Another thing, this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Another thing, Shivananda, one of his, Sri Chaitanya's, very exalted devotees, he was taking care of all devotees who were coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to visit during Ratha Yatra. So his wife came and offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obeisances. And Chaitanya saw that the wife was pregnant. So immediately he asked Shivananda, your wife is pregnant? So he asked Shivananda, your wife is pregnant? Yes. All right. When she gives birth to a child, you keep his name like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, give him this name. Now see, one man, simply he saw with lusty desire to a young woman. He's talking about Chota Haridas. He was rejected. And one man, his wife, is pregnant. He adored him. That's all right. So sex life is not forbidden in this movement, but hypocrisy is forbidden. If you become a hypocrite, then there is nowhere to... I know Srila Prabhupada didn't complete that phrase. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Chota Haridas, he presented himself as a brahmachari and he was looking at a young woman. Then he understood he is a hypocrite. Reject him. And Shivananda Sena, he was grihastha. Grihastha must have children. What is wrong there? They must make wealth as well. They should do. He said, yes, my remnants of foodstuff should be given. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Very strong endorsement of integrity, which of course is embedded in the word acharya, one who teaches by example. I'll finish the purport. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world and to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. By the way, my third suggestion, which I'm not going to discuss here, is we need to define our relationship with India and Hinduism appropriately. We need to work that out, and we should know what it is. I won't go into it, but we need to get that right, because obviously, identifying with Hinduism closely and calling ourselves a religion, which we seem to do these days often, it's not quite in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. At the same time, even some academics have criticized who those who are very stridently saying, we're non-sectarian. Well, there's a bit of a challenge there. How do we define our relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was born in Bengal? What connection do we have to that land currently called India? Big question. I'm only going to leave you with the question. I won't answer it. I hope you don't feel too uncomfortable with that. By the way, there's a book out, a little booklet we published a couple of years ago, but because of the lockdown, we haven't really distributed it widely, called ISKCON and Hinduism. If anyone wants a copy, go to ISKCON Educational Services. They can actually give you a copy. I think it's important to know that. right from the beginning of our involvement with Krishna consciousness, to have a reasonably good understanding of what our identity is, not only in terms of the Sanatana Dharma, but in terms of our kind of genealogy and development within this world, historically, geographically, and so on. Yeah. Because India has failed in her duty, by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident. That if this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. Srila Prabhupada is putting emphasis on reaching the leaders. Notice this. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We have to be able to win over some of the leaders. Not necessarily Mad Vlad, as he's called. But, you know, we do have to reach to those who are successful in the world. It's absolutely essential. The tenor of Krishna consciousness in the early days was very, very anti-establishment. Yeah, it was almost what was it? Bob Dylan sang, "There ain't no success like failure." Sometimes we think that actually by being materially unsuccessful, we become spiritually successful. No. Where did you get that idea from? Find me Shastra support for that. By the way, we all meet difficulty, and it may be an impetus sometimes for spiritual life, but in of itself, material failure is not a sign of spiritual success. Can we reach out to those who are already successful, to those who have already got their arta, economic development, their sense gratification is regulated and looked after, they've got some dharma, they've got some values, can we reach out to those people? Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure with all our faults, Srila Prabhupada is being very humble here, you'll notice this, in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to it being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is a fire in the house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners. And yet, goodness, thinking of the Ukraine again. And yet, without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast the transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values. And thus we are concerned with the techniques and not just with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general or over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. This is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. By the way, if we have integrity, we will have a unique selling point. And don't think that you can get rid of your integrity and say, but we have Krishna. We have love of God. Bogus. Bogus. It's not supported by our Shastra. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature. They recognize pornography as obscene. Yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read. This is a natural instinct. This is important. By the way, the instinct for love is also natural. It drives us. Don't try and give it up. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literature. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but it will also supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. We might add the other arts to this, by the way, not just reading, drama, music, so on. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy, but we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. By the way, it is true that people, we don't like Krishna consciousness because of our fallen condition, but we should be careful that we can make it tasteful, that that lack of taste is not due to our lack of insight also. Similarly, let there be systematic propagation for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures, which are a catering poison to society, will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though now it is presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Srila Prabhupada is showing his gratitude to Narada Muni, who has appeared in the Bhagavatam. The other thing I'm going to mention, I'll stop in 1 minute, that in connection with Narada Muni, when he met the Bhagavatas and he took their prasad and served them, it's mentioned how he naturally developed some taste for the identity of the transcendentalist. And the word there used there is atmaruchi, which Srila Prabhupada defines as being, being attracted to the identity of being a transcendentalist, a spiritual person. But in another lecture, he says atmaruchi means love of the self. And he says there's three types of love of the self: those who love the body, those who love the mind, and those who love the real self. But we also should have self-love, by the way. Very important. We should be good company for ourselves. If we're good company for ourselves, we can be good company to others, and people will be attracted through us. It's true that we glorify Srila Prabhupada, for example, but their first contact is going to be with us. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to have that integrity, that character, that love of the self that will attract people to Krishna consciousness. I'll finish there. Thank you for your patience. Questions, please. We have 8 minutes. Or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that one should love oneself. That's very interesting because there was a nice talk on this by Srila Prabhupada about loving the self. And it's not you sit in front of the mirror and you say, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful," you know, the affirmations. But no, he said, not only do we love the self because it's part of Krishna. And so we should love every part of Krishna. His hair, his eyebrows, his orbit on here. And likewise with the devotees. We should love his parts and parcels. Yeah. You know, so... it was a sort of bit of an eye opener. It wasn't New Age stuff at all. It was wonderful inspiration, actually. How can we get along with each other? Because everybody's part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah, that is very, very important. Actually, if our love is, if our idea of love and our spiritual practice is confined to me and the deity, then we're still Kanishtas. So, and that's one area we've even Jai Pataka Maharaj has acknowledged this. The one area, and he says the academics also, scholars who are studying this, kind of recognize this. ISKCON has got so much to offer, and yet the one area where we seem to be a little deficient is in what some call devotee care, you know, extending that love. So for those who actually put love high on the, you know, perhaps as the topmost virtue, somehow we've not been able to adequately, as yet, develop that or embed it within our social systems so that we're actually really looking after each other. You know, there has been a tendency that if someone has a problem, I mean, your children, you don't, if they come with a problem, you don't go, yeah, Bhagavad Gita 2:14, Matra Spashas to Kunte, you know. That's not our role as a parent. In fact, that's abusive. I'm going to say it. We've got a complete misunderstanding. That may be the path of detachment, or you may think it is. It's not the path of prema. It's not the Vaishnav mood. We need to love, actually. Our love is a... If you don't have desire and love... Actually, Srila Prabhupada says in one lecture, if you don't desire, you're a dead man. You can't give it up. It's useless. Struggling to against... And sometimes we do have to struggle with our desires, but it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Here, this verse, if we can meditate on this verse, and as you said very rightly, Prabhu, that idea of building a community that we want to invite people into or to interact with is very important. So that we can say with self-esteem, this ISKCON is wonderful. Come and join us. This is what we can offer you, cradle to grave. Not just we get you to... The books, by the way, this verse is relating to our books. These books aren't just some kind of tool. It's not some kind of tract, religious tract, to bring people into Krishna consciousness. It's something that forms the basis of our ongoing development of spiritual life. And tomorrow, Vishakha Prabhu will speak about our philosophy. Prabhu, thank you for that, for bringing up that point of Sadhu Sangha. Another question. Comment. Yes. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Most of the time, I promote the false ego when I think I'm loving myself. How do I handle it?
Yeah. We may promote, so your question, we may promote the false ego where we're loving ourselves. Well, Srila Prabhupada does make that distinction, and it's based on knowledge. In fact, I was just reading one book that was saying, it was a non-devotee book, it was saying that humility means that you recognize reality. Right? So humility is a virtue, and we're talking, but recognizing reality is about truth. He's saying there's a connection between our attitudes and truth. So we have to actually see what is true. And the real truth is that we are not this body. That's the beginning of Krishna's instructions, which is, by the way, Krishna's instructions are a response to a moral dilemma, interestingly. So the solution to this is to actually become immersed in our spiritual identity and to at least theoretically to recognize I'm not this body. And if we lose that teaching, if we start to define ourselves in terms of the body, if we start to define ourselves as a mundane religion, or if we start to define ourselves as Hindu, for example, and that's a big question at the moment, and we have nothing against the Hindu tradition, but the problem is that if we start to adopt those bodily designations, we've actually ignored one of the foundational teaching that Lord Krishna gives us. So if we immerse ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we'll find that at times we start to like ourselves. We feel we're good company for ourselves and others. I must say, from my own experience, it doesn't happen all the time. But occasionally, when I touch by Krishna's mercy some Krishna consciousness, then it's good. So if we're finding that actually we're having some internal struggle in our own relationship with ourselves, and Srila Prabhupada does say explicitly in one place, I don't have the reference, just like we have relationships with other people, we have our relationship with our own self. So if we find we're struggling or we're becoming critical of ourselves, then we should question that. We should make our mind our first disciple. If you've got aspirations to be guru, make your mind your first disciple. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
But I say this because there's a tendency to think humility is some kind of subservience or feeling bad about yourself. It's not. It's actually not feeling bad about yourself. It's not. There's one saying, it's not feeling less about yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. It's thinking less about yourself rather than thinking less of yourself. So you forget about yourself. You start to become concerned for others and your relationship with others and serving others. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. There's 1 minute to go. Let's finish there. Thank you for your patience. And tomorrow, do come to class with Vishakha. We'll be speaking on the gift that Lord Chaitanya has given us, our wonderful philosophy. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.